Okay. Today we're, let's get that a little bigger for you. Today we're going to be looking at both the inclusive language or expansive language. I'm going to get over here. Can everybody see that now? Got it?
Can you see?
Are you okay?
Well, I can make it. I'm fine.
I can make it bigger.
No, it's the reflection. That's okay.
You have, good. Okay. When we look at the inclusive language liturgies, one of the things that I want to say is that these are not authorized for use in our diocese without permission of the bishop. And when he decides that you can do that, it's only for a limited period of time. And the idea behind that is if you want to use it to study it, get used to it, see the language, the poetry, whatever, you're welcome to. We do not have express permission to use it. And a part of the reason for that is that supposedly we have a Book of Common Prayer so that we all can do the same thing. Okay? And there's enough options in the 8 Eucharistic prayers that we have in the book that right now our bishop feels that's ample. When and if, and I do want you to know, while there are some people who are talking about printing a new prayer book, there are many, many, many more people who say this is the last prayer book. That in the future, all liturgies, all prayer books, all liturgical options will be available online. And we won't go to the expense of printing books. I don't have a dog in that fight, but anyway. So please notice all the he, him type references are going to be gone. Blessed be the one holy and living God, glory to God forever and ever. Or, blessed be our God forever and ever. Blessed are you, holy and living one. Okay, what do we say now? At a normal service, blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Okay, what's the difference between the acclamations? And I'm not just talking semantics. We've taken out the gender exclusive pronouns, but what have we also done?
Trinity's
gone. Okay, and again, those who find this offensive, that's one of the judgments that they make.
Specifically, blessed are you, holy and living one. That's very specific.
One holy and living God. Okay. He is that. Notice we have the same option that we have for Easter now. Alleluia, Christ is risen. We now say, the Lord is risen indeed. Okay? Now, that may sound like a semantic issue, but it really isn't. It's a theological one. What does the Lord, what's the difference between Christ versus the Lord?
All the Old Testament uses the Lord.
Okay.
Christ,
there's a reason.
Christ is the anointed one. The Lord has authority.
Yes. Okay. Christ is the anointed one. But when we use the word Lord, what we are also doing is we are acknowledging he is master and we are servant. Okay, so there it is authority, but it's a very specific authority. Okay, do you remember when Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" You see, he was saying, like, you call me Lord and Master, rightfully I am, but then you don't do what I tell you. Okay, he was getting at the same kind of thing. They've given you just a couple of collects, and if you there are some collects in here that, with a degree, with a postdoctoral degree from a really good seminary or university, some people will hear, and it's like, what did you just say? For example, next week is Pentecost, and the week after that, of course, is Trinity Sunday. Okay? This is the collect you will not be hearing. Okay? But the one that's in the prayer book. I find it. Some of our collects. Almighty and everlasting God, who has given unto thy servants grace by the confession of a true faith to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and in the power of the divine majesty to worship the unity, we beseech thee that thou wouldest keep us steadfast in this faith and worship and bring us at last to see thee in thy one and eternal glory. O Father, who with the Son and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God forever and ever. It is pretty, but it's like, what does that mean? Okay. You do. Okay. One of the complaints, there are some collects that are incredible. My favorite, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest. I love that. But one of the things that several people have said, even people who are strong prayer book devotees, we need some new collects that are not quite so cumbersome. So this is just an example, and these are from ancient liturgies that have been translated. O God, our shield and armor of light, whom we adore with all the angelic host, defend us from evil. Watch over any who are in danger this night. Give your angels charge over them. Grant that we may always rejoice in your heavenly protection and serve you bravely in the world. I really like that. I think that's a really cool one for protection. And we're not going to go through a zillion collects, but just to say they're much more succinct, they're shorter. And notice they're borrowing from the New Zealand prayer book. Okay, that's one thing. When the New Zealand prayer book, when the Anglican Church of Nigeria, whatever, different national churches have started rewriting some of the liturgies, it's been phenomenal. We have used a couple here from my favorite one is the prayer for mission from Zimbabwe. Do y'all remember when we did that? No, I know. Anyway, I really like, instead of the word of the Lord, here ends the reading, the word of the Lord, thanks be to God. Okay, hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Okay, again, the whole notion that Scripture is God-breathed, God-spoken, and we say thanks be to God. The Nicene Creed basically is relatively unchanged, except you'll notice something is missing. We now currently say, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. That particular piece is called the Filioque Clause. It's an addition that was put in by the Western Church. In the Eastern Church, they never say that, but in most Western churches, they do. It was hotly debated in the 79 prayer book, so obviously the people who wrote this come out of that camp. Okay? Does it make any difference if the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son or just the Father? Okay? These are things that theologians swap gnats over. Okay? But the reason the church in the West included the Filioque Clause is there are a couple of passages. Do you remember before Jesus ascends into heaven? It's going to be John, either chapter 16 or 17. And he says, you know, I must go away. If I don't go, I cannot send the Comforter, you know, who will be with you always, even to the close of the age. Okay? And so we look at certain passages like that and we say, well, in the fullness of God, the Holy Spirit is being sent from the Father and the Son. And then our beloved Eastern friends raise the correct theological issue, which is they're both wrong. The Holy Spirit can proceed from itself. Himself. Okay? So there would be those who would say if we're really going to get our words and our theology right, the Holy Spirit should be sent from the fullness of God, not just one of the personages. No other big changes in the Nicene Creed. Prayers of the people stay pretty much as they are. There are some different intros. Remember, we used to say, let us write one. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's church and the world. Okay? There'll be different introits. In peace and in faith, let us offer our prayers, saying, Christ have mercy, etc. So there's a few different things. Let's look at the confession. This has garnered a lot of ink. God of all mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you, opposing your will in our lives. We have denied your goodness in each other, in ourselves, and in the world you have created. We repent of the evil that enslaves us, the evil we have done, and the evil done on our behalf. Forgive, restore, and strengthen us through our Savior Jesus Christ, that we may abide in your love and serve only your will. Says a lot. What are some of the things it doesn't say? We have offended against your holy law. We have offended against your holy law. Okay? Couple of other things that it doesn't say. Not that every prayer has to be completely inclusive, okay? But do you know when you're like passing the peace with somebody, okay? And there are people who like, you know, they want to kind of bring you closer to them with one hand and hold you away with the thank you, Joe. One of the things about this is at confession, we are there to, bear our soul. And in the process of bearing our soul to God, we kind of give ourselves a compliment. What's the compliment?
In this?
Mm-hmm. We've denied your goodness in ourselves. You see that? Okay. Now, I'm not saying you haven't done that. I'm just saying we've never had a confession that even brought that subject into the context of the prayer, of the confession. Okay? The absolution, Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you all goodness. I have no problem with that. You will notice that my favorite inclusion didn't make it, which is to include the priest in the confession and the absolution in you and me. Okay? I will always do that. Okay, we get into the actual text of the Eucharistic prayer. It's going to look right like what we're used to until after the proper preface. You have filled us in all creation with your blessing and fed us with your constant love. You have redeemed us in Christ Jesus and knit us into one body. Through your Spirit, you replenish us and call us to fullness of life. Anybody notice anything missing? This is the part where they're recalling salvation history. Do you remember from the Eucharistic prayer? Again and again you called us to repent and we failed to do so. Okay? Salvation history is a ebb and flow of turning to God and turning away from Him. Okay? And when we turn away from Him, guess what happens? Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of the universe and giver of life. You formed us in your own image and call us to dwell in your infinite love. You gave the world into our care so that we might be your faithful stewards and show forth your bountiful grace. But we fail to honor your image in one another and in ourselves. We would not see your goodness in the world around us, so we violated your creation, abused one another, and rejected your love. Yet you never ceased to care for us and prepared the way of salvation for all people. Again, notice the inclusion of the patriarchal companion. Through Abraham and Sarah, you called us into covenant with you. Did he? How did he use Sarah? Now, how did he use Sarah to call us into covenant?
Wasn't Jesus in that lineage? No?
He is, but he's not a part of the covenant yet. Through Abraham and Sarah, you called us into covenant with you. You delivered us from slavery, sustained us in the wilderness, and again, this is a little thing, okay? But this whole notion of you delivered us from slavery. If you're black, how are you going to hear that? Are you going to hear that as Moses and the Israelites? Or are you going to hear that, and I can tell you, in the black church, as they have experienced these inclusive language liturgies, they are not good news.
They are not.
They are not good news. Okay? You delivered us
also,
from...
And obviously without Episcopalians, but even more so in Syria and mm-hmm. Christians. I mean, we've just taken them away from anything else.
This is very American. Yes. You delivered us from slavery, sustained us in the wilderness, raised up prophets to renew your promise of salvation. Then in the fullness of time, you sent your eternal word, made mortal flesh in Jesus, born into the human family and dwelling among us. He revealed your glory. Okay. Born into the human family doesn't exactly say born of the Virgin Mary. Right? It gives you the full humanity, but it can include Joseph. dwelling among us, he revealed your glory. Giving himself freely to death on the cross, he triumphed over evil and opened the way of freedom and life. Okay? I noticed something missing here. And the power of death. That's what we always say. Okay? On the night before he died for us, our Savior Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his friends, and said, this is almost verbatim out of Eucharistic prayer, see, this is my body which is given for you, do this for the remembrance of me. As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine, when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, drink this all of you, blood of the new covenant which is poured out for you and for all. For the forgiveness of sins, okay? I know this is teeny tiny and nitpicking, okay? But what all of the Gospels say is, which is poured out for you and for many. It's the difference between many and all. There are some who are left out. And the traditional understanding of that is that salvation is available to all. Christ came for the sins of the whole world, to take care of the sins of the whole world. But when he came to, on the night before he was handed over to suffering and death, and gets to the Eucharistic meal, you could only be invited to the meal if you were a faithful Jew. A faithful Jew. I mean, why else would you gather for Seder? Okay? And so the specific choice of the word many has been what has driven the Eucharistic theology that says this is for the community of faith. Okay? This says everybody. This is my blood of the new covenant, therefore we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Going back for just a second.
Yeah.
In a sense, that would even include an atheist.
Yes, it would.
Even include
an atheist. Yes. Remembering his death and resurrection, we now present to you from your creation this bread and this wine. By your Holy Spirit, may they be for us the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. You may notice something missing. Now sanctify this. What we're actually doing is we're invoking the Holy Spirit to come down and to bless. There isn't anything like that here. Okay? By your Holy Spirit, may they be for us the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. Grant that we who share this gifts may be filled with the Holy Spirit and live as Christ's body in the world. Bring us into the everlasting heritage of your daughters and sons, instead of sons and daughters. That with all your saints, past, present, and yet to come, that's new, okay? It's inclusive. We may praise your name forever. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. Eucharistic prayer 2. I want to jump down to this section. Glory and honor and praise to you, holy and living God, to deliver us from the power of sin and death and to reveal the riches of your grace. You looked with favor upon Mary, your willing servant, that she might conceive and bear a son, Jesus, the Holy Child of God. Could that not have been with Joseph's help? Okay. Living among us, Jesus loved us. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners, healed the sick, proclaimed the good news of the poor. He yearned to draw the world to himself, yet we were heedless to his call to walk in love. Then the time came for him to complete upon the cross the sacrifice of his life and be glorified to you. Anybody notice anything missing? All of Jesus' early preaching was repent. There's no message of repentance. On the night before he died for us, Jesus was at table with his friends. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, do this for the remembrance of me. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins." We are talked about all many. "Now gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer to you our gifts of bread and wine and ourselves a living sacrifice." Well, that's what Hebrews says, that we do offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. Okay. But do y'all notice something else that's missing here? When we come, okay, we bring what to the altar? "All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee." We bring our offering. A part of our offering is a part of our gift, a part of what we present, a part of what we ask God to bless. We offer more than just bread and wine and ourselves. "Pour out your spirit upon these gifts." See, there's a very real invocation. Remember, it's just kind of amorphous in the last one. "Pour out your spirit upon these gifts that they may be the body and blood of Christ. Breathe your spirit over the whole earth and make us your new creation. The body of Christ given for the world you have made." Anybody see a problem with that? Haven't we already been made a new creation? A part of our rebirth into the household of God, to the believing community of faith, that is our recreation, our rebirth, if you will want the language of John chapter 3 and the Nicodemus story. "In the fullness of time, bring us with all your saints from every tribe and language and people and nation to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world." That's not what Revelation says. The messianic banquet is going to be prepared at the end of the age, not from the beginning of the age, through Christ, with Christ, etc. This one is form 3. Is the most feminist of the terms. You'll see it. "All thanks and praise are yours at all times and in all places, our true and loving God. Through Jesus Christ, your eternal word, the wisdom from on high, by whom you created all things, you laid the foundations of the world and enclosed the sea when it burst out from the womb." Whose womb?
No, thank you.
"You brought forth all creatures of the earth and gave breath to humankind." Did a little more than that. Put his spirit, nephesh, into them. Yep.
Are these being used?
They are. Throughout the country. "Wondrous are you, Holy One of blessing. All you create is a sign of hope for your journey, for our journey. And so as the morning stars sing your praises," little awkwardness here for some of us, because in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the morning star, the rebellious star that won't go down at night, is Satan. the morning star. Goes on, glory and honor are yours, creator of all. Your word has never been silent. You called a people to yourself as a light to the nations. You delivered them from bondage. Whoa, 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 whoa. You're mixing metaphors. The light to the nations is out of Isaiah. And that is not our call to respond to God, but our call as faithful people to be a light to the nations, to go to the Gentiles. That's why Paul took the gospel to the Gentile world. Okay? You delivered them from bondage, led them to a land of promise. Of your grace, you gave Jesus to be human. Boy, that takes care of the incarnation, doesn't it? Kind of avoids the whole virgin birth everything. You gave Jesus to be human, to share our life, to proclaim the coming of your holy reign, and give himself for us a fragrant offering. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, you have freed us from sin, brought us into your life, reconciled us to you, and restored us to the glory you intended for us. So notice, no mention of the cross, death, suffering, that bought that salvation. Yeah, we need to stop because it's time.